Hello everyone and welcome to Season 2, Episode 3 of Wind Talks podcast. We have with us today Mr. Amit Kumar, who has immense experience in the field of energy. Let's talk to him about Atmanirbhar Bharat and how it is affecting or helping the electronic segment. Before we dive deep into a conversation with him, let's have a brief intro.
Amit Kumar is a seasoned professional with over 3 decades of experience in the mining and energy sectors. As the business head of metering and protection systems at Schneider Electric India, he has driven the growth of the company's metering business in India. With a strong background in sales and marketing, Amit has led initiatives focused on customer centricity and operational flexibility, resulting in exceptional performance and bagging Ramakrishna Bajaj National Quality Award and Golden Peacock Award for his team. He has also worked in the solar photovoltaic industry for over 2 decades and has been recognized for his pioneering initiatives in rural marketing, winning the Ashton Award and the National Citizen Award in 2009. As an electrical engineer by profession, Amit holds a postgraduate diploma in marketing management and has extensive experience working with companies like Hindustan Copper Limited, Tata Power Solar Systems Limited, Central Electronics Limited, and Crompton Greaves. He has to his credit of collaborating with regional rural banks for financing solar home lighting systems and upscaling the project to national level by the Government of India under the Jawaharlal Nehru National Solar Mission. Besides, Amit is serving as a national president of Invest, chairman of IMA Metering Division, and holds a leadership position in CII Karnataka.
Welcome to Wind Talks and thank you so much for accepting our invite to join us today. I think our relationship in terms of work has been for over 2 decades now. But how your career spanned out and who you are today is something we would love to know. There's some commendable work you've done in different fields, and the field you are today is completely different, and we would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, so we were mentioning about I'm an engineering graduate, and I always feel that the education of 4 years or before that is a platform which prepares one person to take up challenges in life, because there is nothing except for, you know, you go to the class and learn something, but it teaches you the ability to face the world, to face people, to open up, to learn. And you are right that I started my career in the copper mines way back in 91 in Jharkhand. So working in the mines is a totally different experience, and I was a very young electrical engineer there. But then also, you know, I used to look at things very differently. And challenging the status quo was always something, and there may be sometimes I feel the chief engineer always felt that he was not sure of what I will always do, come up with something crazy ideas, but it helped. And then almost after 4.5 years there, I felt that you know, going to the mines and going to the electricity substation or to the concentrator plant was something which is not a, of my choice, or I don't have that passion, or maybe I will exhaust myself in some years. So I started looking out. We had a bond, and also I used to, I was preparing for civil services then. Then, you know, I did my winter internship we had at Crompton Greaves, and then one fine morning a call came. It came to our residence in Ranchi, and my father told me, and I went, and that is how I moved to sales. So sales was a very different experience, and after 4 years of working, you start learning from the scratch what it is there. And I was into mortars. I knew mortars, but the market, how to develop. And Odisha, I was posted in Bhubaneswar. I learned Odia. I can read Odia. I can write Odia. Okay. I'm not write. I can read Odia.
Okay.
Because, yeah. So when you are young, you pick up the language also very fast. And that was a different experience for me. Then suddenly I felt that now it is time and I should move out from here. And I saw an ad, we were at the Copper Club and one newspaper cutting. Because copper mines is a very different experience. It was old English mines.
Okay.
So we had, you know, the quarters like Nepali line, Tamil line.
Okay.
And for GET, you have a GET hostel
in
a separate area for the executives to stay.
Okay.
And Copper Club is one place where we were very fond of going in the evening, hanging around. So I saw that advertisement and, no, not in the Copper Club. I'm talking the when I was in Crompton Greaves, we went to one club in Rourkela. Or I had gone to the Copper Club. I saw that advertisement in a employment news.
Okay.
Right, those days, you don't find them now.
Now, I'm sure. Yeah.
So, employment news, there was a ad for assistant manager in a public sector, Central Electronics Limited in Delhi.
Okay.
So, I applied, I got an interview call, I succeeded. Then I joined there. And, it, you know, from copper mines to mortar cells, then I joined here and I was put in solar.
Okay.
So they were mainly into axle counters, but solar was something which they were also doing. BHEL was doing.
Yeah.
And Tata Solar also had set up a very small plant in Bangalore. So I spent 2 years there.
Okay.
And it was a wonderful experience again to work in a public sector. And I used to go to Jammu Kashmir and during the Kargil war also I was there, so it was a very different experience. And then the Tata Solar guys, they came to know perhaps on the market, and there was a I joined that company without a CV.
Oh wow.
So but I had a wonderful time, and you know, I joined in Delhi, then moved as regional manager to Lucknow, then again came back as head northern region to Delhi, then became head of All India Sales. So, a different experience. And when I joined, it was almost a 98 crore company. When I left, that company was around 1500 crores. So, so I grew with the company and never thought of leaving. But suddenly, this one headhunter, they called me, and LIT was looking for something, you know.
Okay.
He was not very clear that there is a position in Mysore.
Okay.
But Mr. Naik then wanted to meet me, and I called up some of my college friends. That is the only place where you can, you know, speak.
Speak about this, yes.
Talk. So one of my friend, he suggested that if Mr. Naik wants to meet you, you must go and meet him at least.
Yes.
That does not mean that your resignation letter is printed and you want to leave.
Yeah.
So that is how I, you know, I turned up at Landmark, and the interview with Mr. Naik was good, but I enjoyed speaking to him for almost 40-45 minutes.
Wow.
Different aspects.
Right.
Because at such a position, it is not, you know, he wants to know me. He must have done the background check. Then I landed up in Mysore, and now in Mysore for last 8.5 years. And yes, this was a corner office job, which I enjoyed. And the place also is very good.
Yeah.
And when I joined, this company was at a particular level. I feel very happy that I have moved it to almost a different level now.
Yeah.
And I worked with a lot of industry bodies. I learned playing golf here. So, a lot of things around. So, I think this 8.5 years in Mysore was a very, very good experience for me. And had I not taken up, I would. Now I feel when I see it, and
missed opportunity.
It would have been a missed opportunity. And that way, you know, I don't have any regret of whatever I have. Whenever I changed a job, I took up different assignments. Every assignment will have plus, minus, and you need to, every morning will be different.
Yeah.
But here in Mysore, I can say that every morning is different and I learn every day.
Uh-huh.
And every day is very different in the sense that you are looking at the business as a whole and you also feel that so many families look up to you, not only my family, you know, all my employees. And I am answerable not to the employees alone, to their family also. Yes. So it's a very different responsibility I have. And I think that has helped me to see life in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
Matured also in terms of the way I think, the way I look at the world now, the way listening to people, look at people.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm looking forward to see that this metering and protection system, which I heard now, it's a Schneider company. So, and we also looked at, we went through the merger where, we are taken over by Schneider. Right. And it was also a very different learning experience for not only me, all the employees on this electrical and automation side. And I think Schneider managed the amalgamation very well. And people also enjoyed this transition. It was a good learning for me also personally, because a different organization which is spread all over over all the continents, their culture, their policies, much different than even L&T or Crompton Graves or the public sectors.
Mm-hmm.
So that is also last 3.5 years, we are almost here with Schneider now. So it's a different experience of learning.
It's amazing to see that, you know, everyone I've spoken to at the same level of either they heading a team or an entrepreneur, the one thing that I hear in common is we learn. And that's never missed. Everyone speaks about learning on the job and every day is not the same. That there is a learning. And each one, be it any age group, the learning doesn't end. So it doesn't stop at all. I really want to know, you've played so many different roles as you've grown throughout your corporate ladder, you've grown up. What is the one role that, you know, you enjoyed the most that you played throughout this career of yours?
Very honestly, all the four places I enjoyed.
Uh-huh.
Because when I got my first job, to go to the industry, so, and there, you know, we had some more than 8,000 people.
Yeah.
And at very young in life, you have a team of 50, 60 people you have to manage.
Yes.
So, enjoy that also.
Yes.
In Bhubaneswar, when I moved to sales, was a different experience because you are at the front.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that a lot of things are... You can make a difference to the numbers. Tata Solar experience was also very different because I saw the whole country there.
Uh-huh.
I was involved in one of the highest offices Tata Solar had, was in Leh. So every year going to Leh and looking at.
Uh-huh.
Then some of the projects we did, like when I was... we had a 10,000 rooftop program in Kerala, and Dr. Farooq Abdullah was the MNRE minister. There in Tata Solar, I learned most of how to network with government and how to network with the senior officers, how the policies are made, how the policies changes, because in Delhi, you get a lot of exposure that way. So, the Kerala program also... I stayed almost in all the 16 districts of Kerala. So So it was a different experience in the sense that the sales team was not very confident, but sitting in Delhi, I could see that we can do more. And almost we ended up with more than 60-70% of market share we had then.
Uh-huh.
Though we had competitors who are very aggressive, and sales team always feels, you know, they are nervous that, oh, we will lose. But hey, that is how, you know, that helped me to be more patient in life, to see, to transition. You have to wait for the right opportunity. Of course, this experience, you also have been working with NNT Schneider for so many years, so you know what we do here. So this is also a very different experience because you are managing the show, and ultimately the ball stops at your near table. So you are at the last. You are the man who will be answerable to
everything. Yes.
So lot of responsibilities that way, because earlier you were the sales head. So there is a CEO who is managing and looking at the whole business.
Yes.
But here one thing is there, that what I learned more was how to network more. Then looking at the different functions we have, and someday I have to focus on particular thing, looking at the weak links which you have, so that, you know, you bridge it. And I remember the Entada group, they used to say that look at the broken glass pin in the morning and try to fix that first.
Okay.
So it is all about looking at where the broken glass plane is in the whole chain,
and to fix it.
And of course, you need to dream a lot. You need to have a vision.
Yeah.
What will be the next 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? And ensuring that we have a very young team here. So you need to see that they have also opportunities.
Yeah.
They also make a career of themselves to guide them. So that way it is different.
It's very interesting to, you know, hear the fact that, you know, fixing, there are a lot of different things that pan out as, you know, as someone who is heading a team. And in each and every role, there is something that needs to be, you know, catered to, or you have to be specifically looking at in some kind of a seriousness. In terms of, say, when you're in a leadership role, it's about solving problems. But this solving problems kind of a thing trickles down in every aspect of life. And I'm sure it has been a part of your journey throughout as you've grown up the ladder. How important is it? Like, I've seen you being a part of a lot of these consortiums, which are, I would say, a good anchor to helping businesses, you know, thrive. You've been the past chair for CII, IMA, and you've also been a part of Invest. You still continue to be a part of all these organizations. But there is certain things that, you know, you would want to push through these platforms. What is it that you really look at, you know, pushing through all these platforms?
CII, you know, being the past chairman, and I was chairman during the COVID period when you were also there in CII. So it was a very different challenge. You know, you remember 2020, how difficult it was. And in a place like Mysore, so meeting the district commissioner there, Mr. Shankar, Aviram Shankar was there. And it was, we used to almost meet every week, formulate, look at what we can do more from the industry, from side point of Mysore. But now I am very active in West, as you rightly said. It's a value engineering society affiliated to Society for American Value Engineers. And I am there in US next week to attend the annual conference for SAVE in Nashville. So there, you know, my immediate challenge is that how to push SAVE and give prominence to India, because when you talk of value engineering and India being such a big country, and we are going to become a 5 trillion economy if we have. So opportunities are huge, and to bring the focus of SAVE, which is more of America-centric, to India. So, you know, last time when I was there in Arizona for their annual meeting, we pitched that it cannot be America-centric. Okay. And they had... You know, there also I was one guy who was speaking out.
Standing out.
From Asia. Okay. We had people from Korea. where value engineering is very popular, and in Japan where value engineering is also very popular.
Yes.
But they have a language issue, so they do great work, but in such a forum to speak out may be difficult for them. But yes, they were with me, and I feel proud and happy that SAVE has agreed to hold their annual conference next year in New Delhi.
Oh.
So we have moved it from America to New
India.
Delhi.
Yeah.
So that's, as president of Invest,
it's a good milestone.
Yeah. I have moved, and let us see, we have to make that conference. But yes, value engineering is something, being a practicing engineer, which we need to focus in times to come, because it is not only about cost saving, it is something more into it. In EMA, of course, that was the industry platform, and today when we talk of smart meters, we give the confidence to the government that the Indian industry, the Indian meter industry is capable enough and has all the necessary know-how to see and ensure that we can meet the demand, because 250 million smart meters is not a small number. But we gave the confidence to the Power Minister, Mr. R.K. Singh, and then the Secretary that we can do that. And that started almost when I was the EMA chairman for the meter division. Okay. And so, but yes, there is a lot of work to do on that front also. CIA, of course, is a very big organization,
yes,
and a lot of industry leaders in it. So they have a very different vision. CIA has a vision for India 75 and things like that. Yes. I think I need to give some time to invest to see that the next decade is big for India, and the young guys in SAVE, in Invest, take up the mantle and do something great and bring honor to the country and what is required.
It's nice to see that, you know, there is a vision per se when you are associated with these organizations. A little digressing back to something that was really interesting, and I think we would love to listen to your story. Solar power and bringing them home. And it was not a small project, not something really small that, you know, happened on a small scale, but this was something on a national level that was completely spearheaded by you. Take us through the entire project and how was it?
You know, I was regional manager in Lucknow, and we used to deal with the government of UP.
Okay.
And solar in 2001 or 2 meant small home lighting system. The biggest power plant was the 200 kilowatt power plant in those days.
Okay.
So 50 kilowatt means, or 10 kilowatt means, a big power plant. Now we talk of in megawatts.
Yes.
And the panels used to be small and things. Mm. And India of 2001, like when I was in Lucknow, I just 20 kilometers out from Lucknow, if you go, districts like Barabanki or Unnao, you don't see their villages without solar power.
Okay.
So then, you know, the whole business used to run from a subsidy which used to come either from the state government or from the central government. And then, you know, there was a very, very good IAS officer, I will say, in UP, Mr. Patnaik. He used to tell me, Amit, think big, think big.
And okay.
I was around early 30s, and he retired in 2012, means he was plus 50. So
yes,
we used to have a lot of good chat sitting in his room at the government building. So one day, you know, I used to, I had a knack of meeting people, though they are of use to link to my business or not. Correct. So one day I was speaking to the chairman of then Aryavart Gramin Bank, which is a Gramin Bank which was sponsored by Bank of India.
Okay.
Mr. Joshi. So he was also maybe 55, 56 plus.
Okay.
I think we met in one Tata network forum or somewhere, and then he, one day on a Saturday morning, he said that I will come to your office. So Saturday was closed for us, but I said, okay, I will come. And he came. Then he said that let us start financing solar home lighting system for the villages.
Okay.
Right. I spoke to one of the main dealers there, and we felt okay that the bank chairman is telling, let us honor him. So we financed some, you know, initially 5 home lighting systems Guaravanki from a branch.
Okay.
Then we understood that Udupi.
Down south,
In Karnataka. So they are also doing it.
Okay.
And in small ways through a syndicate bank.
Okay.
But Zilla Parishads also in Karnataka used to finance and do some kind of thing, but small numbers. But with Mr. Joshi, we started and we thought again, we dreamt big. So initially, then it became 100, then it became 500, then it became 1,000, then it became 10,000, then it became 50,000. Then other Grameen banks also started working, like Allahabad Grameen Bank, Gurgaon Grameen Bank. In Andhra we went. And during 2006, when I was getting transferred, then we, it had already reached a level. And suddenly one day, I was thinking that why shouldn't we apply for the Ashton Award, which is then known as the Green Nobel Prize.
Okay.
So, Mr. Joshi, I literally, you know, excited him and told him, sir, you must apply. Because we were the manufacturers, it does not look good us applying. So we partnered with him and we applied, and he won the Ashton Award.
Wow.
When he won the Ashton Award, then it came under to the notice of Government of India and MNRE.
Okay.
So then the MNRE secretary and they all called us that let us give some kind of subsidy into the program, see how do we do that. So slowly that subsidy thing was also there, but Grameen banks were trying to do that independent of the subsidy. And now when I go back, when UP, in Haryana, in Andhra Pradesh, then some in West Bengal, in Assam, we did a lot of good work. And though, you know, it was something linked to our company's business, but something which, you know, was attached to me as at that. One of the boys from Moradabad, he wrote to our CEO that because of your solar light, I could complete the UPSC exam.
Wow.
Because they didn't have power.
Power, yes.
So, you know, that was the happiness you bring. A lot of life changed. Those small mud houses having a solar light with a panel. So, that you when you have that passion in you and you start,
that's right.
Lot of ideas also keeps on coming, you know, how to do that. And we had also a very good team. So the Grameen Bank chairmen were also very cooperative. So they could see the success. Eventually, Mr. Joshi got awarded by Bank of India. And usually you don't see, but the last year of his tenure in Bank of India, he was promoted as general manager.
Oh, wow.
Because of the good work.
Good work.
And something very different.
Yeah.
Financing by Bank of India sponsored Grameen Bank.
Yeah.
It's not a usual business which bank will do.
Absolutely. Yes.
So then, of course, in Solari, I've spent some 17 years. We did a lot of, but this part was something which was very emotional for me. And when I try to recall, and see, we went to London, we received this award from Prince Charles.
Oh, very nice.
So, first good experience and something, you know, you feel that you give back to the society.
To the society, yeah. You spoke about, as you spoke about this entire project and then the passion that, you know, that drove you to put this across. And today, when you look back at it, I'm sure you still can remember all the vivid memories of what you went through, how it started from just, say, 5 homes to now across, you know, India, it reaching out. And there was one point that you mentioned that there was a recognition from the government. We do see lately, you know, there is a lot of push in terms of government policies, especially when it comes to, you know, Atmanirbhar. Do you think it's really helping the system, the entire lookout on Atmanirbhar? And I wanted to understand that, you know, when it comes to energy meter, metering, power, everything, how important is it for us to, you know, indigenize these products that we're looking at?
You know, Atmanirbhar Bharat is something which I think will take India to a very different position. Mm-hmm. And it's a policy decision with the government and the PLI scheme, which is there.
Yes.
Today, if you talk of semiconductors, because in smart meters, it is all about semiconductors or even the plastic, mm-hmm. the virgin polycarbonate, which gets in. None of them are manufactured in India.
Okay.
We don't have a semiconductor facility yet in the country.
Okay.
So I think the Atmanirbhar Bharat policy and the PLI scheme, we see a lot of buzz in the newspaper uh-huh. on semiconductor, and at least ATMP is the first step towards the packaging thing, mm-hmm. which is going to happen. And all big companies are, many companies are talking about it. This is regarding semiconductor and smart meters. In terms of solar also, you see till date in terms of the solar, so the panel, you see, it has got solar cell. Mm-hmm. The cell is made out from wafers. So, wafer is not manufactured in India.
Okay.
So, solar wafer is getting manufactured. I think few of the big companies are talking of, right, starting from the sand, making the wafer.
Okay.
So, that is the place where India has to play a big role and mm-hmm. get into, because we cannot be dependent on other countries to give us the wafer and we manufacture, or when it comes to semiconductor. Mm-hmm. So, that area is something. But even beyond that, if you talk of today in the smart meter, you have got relays uh-huh. or the relays government has put uh-huh. that initially it started with some kind of duty, 5%, then 10%, mm-hmm. then 15%, to ensure that there is a local manufacturing which gets encouraged. Mm-hmm. And I think that is going to help, because we are the leaders in the smart meter field, and lot of almost everybody, when they try to get into and venture into the components which make the smart meters, they talk to us, and I almost many people have approached us mm-hmm. to manufacturing the relays in India, to see that more of printed circuit boards coming in. Then also some of the guys are also even talking of you know, who have fabulous facilities of making the microcontroller in India, and whether we are ready to use that. And you see, ultimately, we are a very cost-conscious country. Mm-hmm. And when we will be making the wafer or the semiconductor or the microcontroller, what goes into the manufacture of meters, it is going to be very cost-effective. And we can beat anybody in the world.
Right.
When it comes to like smart meters, we used to talk of people across outside who had the technology, but I can say with pride in Mysore, which our factory is just behind this years, and we have the engineers who design, and we have all designs inside the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the components which we don't make, we have to import from outside. But the balance, whatever we get in this country, we get it and we manufacture, and we have the art of the manufacturing facility. So what I feel is that Indians engineers are very competent. Yeah. And when it comes to semiconductor manufacturing, we will be able to do that. We'll be able to do better than what others have done. And even when you go to US and you speak to big houses, you will find a lot of Indians there.
Yes.
So that shows that we have the necessary IQ, the necessary intelligence, the necessary willpower to do that. And I think Atmanirbhar Bharat is one step which will make it move India to the next phase. And we will see a very different country 10 years from now.
Absolutely. It's nice to see that, you know, you are so sure about how India would be placed in the future. And I think this is a vision and a passion and a patriotism that each one of us need to carry as people within the system, and how we outlook certain policies that are made and, you know, brought out for all of us. Another thing that we lately, you know, get to hear a lot in terms of, one is, yes, indigenization, Atmanirbhar Bharat, where we are going to be, how we position ourselves, the economy and everything. But when you look at large multinationals and, you know, the thought process that's going around, is the buzzword is sustainability and, you know, carbon credits and so many things that are going around that. Do you really think that sustainability is a part and parcel of the future? You know, it because you are someone who has worked in solar, you are in power at the moment, and you talk about metering, and all this is some way, you know, associated with the aspect of looking at our future in a sustainable sense. Is it just a big jargon that's being used by multinationals, or do you think that there is something constructive that's happening?
No, sustainability is something which we don't have a choice, but we have to make this world sustainable. Younger days, we have seen the photo of, you know, the earth, and you give it to your child.
Yeah.
That is how stories get built up.
Uh-huh.
You need to build a story to see that people, common guys, learn it. Multinationals, of course, they talk of sustainability. There are a lot of professionals who are trying to get into this part and make a career out of sustainability. So those things will always be around the world, and it has to be there. But if you see our own life, or when you know, I used to, as I was mentioning, I used to go to Leh.
Uh-huh.
Back in, first I went in 98.
Uh-huh.
When I was in Central Electronics and then in Tata Solar, you can see how the
landscape
of Leh has changed.
Okay.
And currently also you see the weather which is there, but weather is one part of the story. But uh-huh. Another is, we have seen during the COVID period how, when pollution was not there, and
yes,
how we could see the mountains in Chandigarh down up to Shimla. So we have, it means we don't have a choice. We mm-hmm. have to work towards it. And how there are different as well. Multinationals are, each company has a different agenda of, one is that what are their practices and what are they doing to make their process more sustainable in terms of environment and other part. And then other, the product they are making, that is one, the mm-hmm. other part. And there are a lot of, you know, since this story has been built up. So to build up a story, you need something. So you have what is known as scope 1, scope 2, scope 3.
Yeah.
So these are some of the processes which the industry is building up, so that, you know, when it comes to maybe 3 years, 4 years from now, and everybody is practicing it,
mm-hmm.
what do they practice?
Yeah.
So, you know, somebody looks at scope 1, scope 2, scope 3 as something of jargon which multinational talks about or mm-hmm. government talks about. But if you tell me that you have to follow some process, and this is a process which is there.
Uh-huh.
And ultimately, I don't know how much successful we all will be
uh-huh.
to make this world a more sustainable place to live in.
Uh-huh.
We are making an attempt to do that.
Yeah.
And I am sure that a lot of people are making very honest attempts in this.
Uh-huh.
And ultimately, you know, if you talk of batteries, you talk of solar cell, there has to be again a process of how you get rid of them.
Yes.
So there is, so you have to build a process, and sometimes when you make a process, the outside world looks at it as a jargon.
Yeah.
But there has to be something which people need to follow.
Yeah.
And yes, in terms of the environment or the policies different governments are making, different countries are making, then you have got the COP28, COP29. Mm-hmm. Then you have got, we have seen how the carbon trading part of it was done, and
yes,
the rates of how it changed.
Yes.
Correct. We have seen in recently, last year, the Davos conference also was
on
sustainability.
Yeah.
Even the EMA, the Indian Electrical and Electronics Manufacturing Association, they talk of how to make the industry more sustainable, how the power industry can contribute to it.
Uh-huh.
So So I think that is something which is required for the future, and power industry will play a very important role in it, definitely, mm-hmm. because if the power is clean, then a lot of things change.
Yes.
And even in the automotive industry, we'll also see a lot of changes happening.
Yes.
So my only point will be that even if we are able to maintain what it is, at least not make it more polluted than what it is now,
yeah.
we would have achieved some milestone, somewhere, but maybe in the long run, we have to come down again.
Absolutely. Before we end today's session and before we wrap up the entire podcast, the few takeaways that I get from, you know, the journey that you've had so far is learn on the job, learn every day. Look at every problem with a solution, and I'm sure there will be a solution for everything that you look out for. Putting ourselves, India, on the global map and making us heard. And lastly is to have fun and being present in whatever we do as we grow up the ladder in all fields and all walks of life. Before we end this session, there's one question that I want to ask you. What is that one thing that you would want youngsters or, you know, young people out there who are getting into a new job or want to start something of their own? What is the one thing that, you know, they really need to practice in life?
You know, one thing I keep on telling is that the competition in this world is growing every day.
Uh-huh.
People may say that 10 years back it was different, 20 years back it was different, but I have a son and daughter, I know they face equal competition. So what I tell also in my different interactions in the company to the youngsters is that follow something which is very close to your heart,
mm-hmm.
which is something which you are very passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
So that tomorrow morning when you are trying to do that, it's not a pain, it comes very naturally.
Right.
So if you are, you may have decided something, and even 10 years down the line, if you feel that this is something which is not of your taste or you don't like it,
mm-hmm.
it's high time that you leave it and forget that and start something fresh, which you feel that you will be able to, which is very close to your
heart.
So that you get inner peace,
yes.
you also achieve something in life,
yes.
and you also able to contribute to the society as a in a smaller way or bigger way, whatever it is. I think that is, if you are doing that, even like when you're choosing what stream to take from after class 10 or 12,
mm-hmm.
something which I think the parent also have to ensure that
mm-hmm.
they should ask the child that what he likes.
Nice. Yeah.
And then if he is doing that, and then the child has to take decisions in life himself.
Mm-hmm.
So then he has to choose something which is, he is very passionate about.
Yeah.
And if he does that, I think 75% of the problem
is solved. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I think having a conversation with you today has just helped me, you know, regain some of my lost confidence in life in general about a lot of things. It was wonderful, you know, having this conversation. And there are a lot many things that I'm going to implement in my career. And thank you so much for that.
Thanks. Thank you so much for starting this podcast, which I think you decided some time back.
Yes.
I'm sure that people who are watching it, not me, many other leaders you mm-hmm. are speaking to, people must be gaining out of it. And wish you all, your viewers, my best wishes to them and best wishes to you also for your career and it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Wind Talks. Stay tuned to listen to more amazing people.